Welcome to the End Evil Podcast. This is Chris Jansen. Evil is the destruction of freedom. Welcome, friends. Thanks for joining us. I'm very excited about this special episode. It's going to be an interview with a fantastic performer, vocalist, musician, and activist, Grant Presence. I'm going to bring Grant right on in. Thanks for joining us today, Grant.
Thanks for having me. You.
Yeah. Right on. So you're out there in Sedona and
yes, sir.
Got your music set up today, which I'm pretty excited to see.
Yep. Yeah, so we can flow, do some conversation, and if there's a particular song or what songs we want to throw in live, we can do some live music too. So yeah, happy to be with you, man. It was good to finally meet you out at the Soundpath event a couple weeks ago. So
yeah.
We've been connected in the ethers for a while, so it was nice to finally meet you and your partner in person. So,
yeah, I think we first met at Andrew Kaufman's True Medicine University event.
Yep.
I was just so amazed by how you were able to perform live and on pretty short notice one time, because I think you did a couple events when I was working with those guys, and that was amazing. But, you know, what really comes to mind is I think your first big song was The Scam, right? Coming out in about 2021.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious how that all came about and how much bravery that took to come out. There weren't a lot of people talking about The Scam before you did.
Yeah, definitely, man. So, I mean, prior to that, I had been working on some music. I had released about an album with my previous partner King David James, and we had done an album together during the whole lockdown situation. And after, I don't know, I'd moved to Sedona in October of 2021 to escape all of the Nazis out in Colorado. It was pretty insane out there, man. Like, I was getting, you know, I'd be on a bus going to go skiing or something like that, and I'd have like my ski mask down below my mouth, but I'd have my ski mask on because I was going to go skiing anyways, but I wouldn't be wearing it over my nose or anything like that on a bus because I'm not a slave, you know. So, and then this one time, the whole entire bus is like standing up and everybody is in this like mob mentality. Everyone's like shaming me and pointing fingers at me and calling me like an evil person because I have my mask underneath my mouth and I was refusing to put it over my nose. Another time I had the cops called at me at a grocery store, like my local grocery store. I ended up walking home with my groceries because I was just a few minutes away from my house. I checked out real fast and walked home with my groceries, and three freaking pigos just come following me all the way to my house. I lived in like an apartment complex, so they didn't know exactly where I lived. And they also, I left my car in the parking lot of the grocery store because I didn't want them to get my information. You know, I didn't want them to know my fictional name based on my license plate or whatnot. So I just walked home with my groceries and, yeah, I just asked them, I'm like, am I under arrest? And they're like, no. And they just kept trying to press me and trying to find a way to trespass me and all this stuff. And all over just, you know, grabbing some groceries without a mask on in my local grocery store. So just all those kind of situations led me to leave where I was living at the time in Colorado. And I found my way out here to Sedona, Arizona, where people are a lot more free. Most people are pretty awake, especially the younger people who live out here. And I just found that this was a much more aligned community with people who seemed to appreciate my music out here and stuff like that. And I just remember the pressure of The Scam just continued to mount. Like, things just continued to become, even though I was removing myself from that kind of physical oppression of being surrounded by all these people who were, you know, trying to enforce their will, their totalitarianism on others. I'd kind of removed myself from that situation, but I could still see all the stuff that was going on. And I was pissed off, honestly. And then that was what led to the song Scam. And that was the first tune that I released as a solo artist. Because prior to that, I'd been releasing music with my past partner, David James. And we had been, you know, working on stuff together, collaborating. And that song kind of signified the beginning of the new phase of Presence of, you know, my solo project of just me writing songs and recording things, doing things all by myself. And that song just felt like an opportunity to sort of transmute a lot of the negative energy that I'd been feeling, a lot of the anger that I'd been feeling, into something productive. And fortunately, it seemed to resonate and land with people. And I remember like a couple larger channels on BitChute, like Max Egan, The Crow House, reposted it and got like, I don't know. Realistically, it probably has over 1 million views and streams if it wasn't for the censorship. But, right. You know, as a result of the censorship, you can see there's multiple ways where I have documentation of my view counts going backwards and stuff like that. And it even got censored off Spotify at one point. And so then I have like two different listings of it on Spotify where I can see. Yeah. So anyways, man, I was just grateful that it landed with people and people seemed to, you know, appreciate the rawness of that song, which really just came out of my anger around what was happening at the time. And desire to say something about it. So,
yeah, I mean, like coming across someone like you really helped me out because I was fighting my own little battle on my own. Like you, I didn't want to wear the mask from the very beginning. And, you know, coming across like your music and another person like Will Keller, you know, other people that I found online that were of the right mind from my point of view, I needed that confirmation at that time. I really appreciated it. And that was kind of when I was first coming out with the And Evil podcast. But speaking of your name, Presence, which that's one question I have is how you came up with the name Presence. Maybe I'll field that first before I ask the other one that's on my mind.
Yeah. I know. It's always great to talk to people who are like, yeah, I never wore the mask from the very beginning. I was never going to do that, you know, because there was a lot of people who didn't agree with it, but they still went along to get along. And I feel like the people who I'm truly friends with now, like my wonderful lady, my girlfriend, Jen, like she never, ever, ever wore the mask from the very beginning. And it's not like a judgment on anyone, but like I definitely have a strong resonance with those people who are just like, you know what? It took a lot of courage and it took a lot of, especially when there was so much deception going on and it was hard to even have a real sense of what was going on. Those, the people who were willing to stand their ground and stick to, you know, the right action of, you know, doing something because it doesn't cause harm to anyone else. Like it doesn't cause harm to not wear a mask. Like it actually causes harm to wear a mask, as we know from a lot of the research from Andy Kaufman and other people like that. So just the people who are willing to stand their ground, I have a lot of respect for those people from the very beginning, and the people who were able to see through the deception from the very beginning instead of the people who just like jumped on the bandwagon 2 years in because they realized that a lot of their audience had woken up and they had to like get with the program kind of thing. You know, I saw a lot of that. Whereas I think the core group of people who I'm currently connected with, like we all saw it from the very beginning. We all knew that this was a scam from the outset. So I think when I released that song, people were like, oh fuck yes, like somebody's calling it out like it is, as a blatant faced like lie and deception, and not just like, you know, all of this kind of communist tiptoeing around the truth kind of talk. But anyways, mm-hmm. Getting to the name Presence actually came to me when I was really studying a lot of the Joe Dispenza type meditation practice back in around 2017, 2018. And this was kind of before I started producing the music for this project. But I remember at one point I had a beat on my computer and I was just making a lot of beats at the time, just trying to sharpen my sword, my skill set around music production. And so I was just making a lot of beats and at the time wasn't really writing a lot of lyrics for the tracks, just making instrumental tracks. And one of them, I just remember, had been listening to a lot of Joe Dispenza meditations where he was talking about presence, the idea of presence. And I remember typing in the name. I was saving the beat on my computer in Ableton. And I was typing it in. And as I typed it in, I wrote P-R-E. And instead of S-E-N-C-E, the way it's traditionally spelled, I wrote P-R-E-Z-E-N-C-E. And I just hit save. And I was like, okay, cool. And then later on, I kept opening back up that beat to work on it. And I was like, presence with a Z. That's interesting. And I realized that the word Zen was written in the middle of the word presence. And, you know, that state of Zen is the state where the mind essentially goes offline, like the chatter of the mind goes offline. And I was actually listening to a podcast that Mark Passio just did with Archaic's Jason Brashears. Did you see that? That one was so good.
I was pretty pumped.
That was such a good podcast. Loved it. Like, it was so cool to see the two of their minds meeting in that way. But one of the things they were talking about towards the end was that exact thing of like being able to quiet the monkey mind so that we can tap into that state of Zen, that state of presence, and ultimately become more effective at whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish. And I realized that that name had a lot of power. You know, it had a lot of power because that's exactly what, for me, the practice of making music is about in the first place. It's about trying to get into that space beyond the ego mind and into a state where the mind disappears and we're tapping into a higher form of intelligence where all of the answers are already available to us. And then from that place, we can penetrate through the deceptions and the lies and the layers of this reality to a deeper level of truth. And I think that's what I'm working to accomplish through this music. So that's kind of a little bit of a backstory on the name Presence and how it came about.
Well, that really hits with me too, because, you know, often I tell people my name and when they go to spell it, I say Jantzen, because that's not the normal spelling of Jansen. And I also have Zen in that name. So,
oh, shit, bro. I didn't even realize. That's crazy. Whoa, I didn't even realize that.
Pretty
I was
awesome,
actually
yeah.
saving your. I was saving your contact into my phone because I think previously we'd only talked on WhatsApp or something,
okay.
And or on Facebook Messenger or something. And I was saving your contact after the event a couple weekends ago.
Right on.
And then I was trying to think about how to spell it out in my mind. I was like, is it Jantzen or Jantzen? But
yeah.
I somehow
now
in that process
forget.
Now I'll never forget because I can't overlook it now. That's cool.
Well, yeah, which brings me to the other question I was going to ask, which, you know, for me, it's kind of a setup because, like, what gave you the presence of mind as soon as that all this propaganda started rolling out to the scamdemic? I know there were certain things that keyed me in right away, and I kind of have an idea what you're going to say, but I'd really like to see what do you think put you in the place to be able to recognize it for the scam it was right from the beginning, without falling for it like a lot of people did?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the thing that allowed me to see it from the outset was the instant tidal wave of fear propaganda that was coming out. It was just as soon as it started to make mainstream headlines. I think this was like April 2020, something like that. That was when I was at home with my roommate, and he brought it to my attention. He's like, have you heard about this COVID thing? It's like this supposedly this really deadly virus that's coming out or whatever. And I just remember like reading maybe a half of the first paragraph of this news article and having already at the time a strong understanding of natural law, of Mark Passio's work, of, you know, the concepts of voluntarism, Larkin Rose's work, people to that effect who are just, you know, talking about the fundamental differences between right and wrong and the overt lies of the media, things of that nature, David Icke's work. It just immediately became apparent to me that this tidal wave of fear propaganda there was some kind of a Hegelian dialectic at play. You know, that kind of speaks to David Icke's work of they always come with a problem first, they get a mass reaction from the public, and then they roll out their pre-planned solution, which in this case was the mRNA vaccines genetically modifying humanity and, you know, ushering us into a sort of technocratic control system state that we're moving towards now. So it, I don't know, what I would be curious to hear your thoughts on what was the first thing that was the red flag for you in terms of what was like, oh, this is obviously a lie or something from the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, I think like you're saying, it was just pretty obvious really quick. And
yeah.
I feel like what prepared me for that, like you're saying, David Icke, some of the other truthers, but mainly Mark Passio's work, just being able to recognize right away that, wait a second, you know, this is my body, this is my choice. And
yeah.
Being really clear on that understanding, having that prerequisite knowledge, it just like the falsity of the way things were being rolled out, just you could see right through it if you'd done that work, if you already knew about, you know, the importance of autonomy and individual. And I know you'd studied Mark's work and you've been someone who's I remember one of your early videos, you were wearing the One Great Work Network shirt, and I go, oh man, look at that. This is the first time I've seen somebody wearing that shirt in a, you know, like in a media video. And I was so impressed. So Lad, take us back a little bit. Like, how did you first come to even those realizations of truth and freedom and natural law in your life?
Yeah, it's kind of a twofold thing. So I've talked about this a little bit on a couple other podcasts that I've been on, but it was around 2015, 2016 when I started to have my awakening process. And I think that was largely due to starting to work with plant medicines, first cannabis, and then LSD, mushrooms. I went into an ayahuasca ceremony for the first time at a very young age of 18 years old, right after I graduated from high school, and got my ass absolutely beat, like spiritually got my ass kicked, and realized a lot of pain that I'd caused to other people, basically bullying people throughout all of high school because I was a super scared, depressed, traumatized little kid. I lost my dad when I was 14 due to the medical system. He was taking a pill as prescribed and ended up dying completely out of the blue. Like, nobody in my family ever expected it. Super healthy guy. And so I was just pissed off for the majority of my teenage years. And then when I started to do plant medicines, it instantly tapped me into like, holy shit, I have a bunch of trauma that I need to deal with that's preventing me from really like self-actualizing. And on top of that, I've been causing harm to other people through, as a result, as an expression of my trauma, because I haven't had a container to, you know, do any kind of real inner shadow work or anything like that. So yeah, the plant medicines were definitely one of the big ones. And at that time, I was just completely fearless. Like, I've always been an outdoor recreation type of person. I've been into mountain biking and skiing on a high level since I was a young kid. And, you know, climbing big mountains and camping in the backcountry and all this kind of stuff. So there was like this kind of element of adventure and fearlessness. So where I would just like throw myself into these plant medicine ceremonies completely alone with nobody around, no sitter. I would go out to Joshua Tree National Park and take a couple hits of acid and just go walking around by myself with nobody else around for miles. And like, a lot of those journeys helped me to really tap into the deeper truth of my soul. And it became immediately apparent to me why these substances are scheduled, you know, as controlled substances by the department, or what is it, the Drug Enforcement Agency. And meanwhile, all these harmful, extremely addictive chemicals are being sold to the public en masse because they're hyper addictive and they take people away from their true purpose. Whereas psychedelics do the opposite. They're anti-addictive. They're very hard to get addicted to because they force you to do very intense inner work. And at the same time, they really tap you into your true potential, and they immediately make all of the lies and the deceptions of the world completely apparent. And then around that time was when I started to discover some of these sort of, like, I guess you could call it truthers, freedom, you know, sovereignty, influencer type people. And I came across, I believe it was Jeff Berwick's podcast first, The Anarchast, which I don't know if you ever watched Anarchast, but people have mixed, you know, feelings about Berwick and stuff like that for a variety of reasons. But I will say at that time, he was doing a really excellent work. And I still think he's doing good work to this day in terms of the kinds of things that he's exposing. But he had a podcast called Anarchast where he had all these types of people on, from like Larkin Rose to Mark Passio to Max Egan. And those were kind of the ideas that I started to become exposed to. And that was when I instantly recognized that there was a complete alternate view of reality besides just the mainstream left versus right paradigm, and that there was another model, you know, because this society works off of the premise that we can just keep people trapped in this left-right dialectic where people are constantly bouncing between, oh, you're a Republican, oh, you're a Democrat, oh, you believe in this, so you must be this. And people are forced into these ideological camps based on certain beliefs that they hold. But then they're forced into these violent viewpoints of statism, which means, like, if you believe in this, then we need to use the force of government to force that view upon everybody else, right? Rather than just live and let live. no victim, no crime. If I don't cause harm to anybody else, you know, then my actions are in accordance with natural law, these kind of things. And so when I started becoming exposed to these ideas, it was like a light bulb went off for me, because, you know, I'd already been doing this kind of shamanic work, the plant medicine work, and then I recognized the inherent truth of natural law and, you know, voluntarism, the idea that we could just exist in a society where there is no need for government, where we can just be self-responsible for our own actions, and we can take personal responsibility for our own actions. And yeah, that's kind of how that whole awakening process began for me around 2016. And yeah, and it wasn't until around 2020 when I started taking those ideas and putting them into musical form. And I remember it was during that COVID lockdown where I was listening to one of Mark's insane rants, where he was just like, he's like, if you're aware of this information and you're not actively doing something about it, you're part of the problem. In fact, you're worse than the people who are completely ignorant to this, because the people who are completely ignorant to it have a lower karmic responsibility than the people who are aware of what's going on and are just sitting on their hands doing nothing, watching from the sidelines. And I just remember at the time also feeling really unfulfilled, because I wasn't, you know, doing anything creative. And I think that expressing ourselves creatively is one of the greatest sources of spiritual fulfillment that we can achieve in this lifetime. And if we're not actively expressing ourselves creatively, then we're, you know, a potential trap for all of this consumerism and all of the types of consciousness that wants to consume the majority of humanity through, you know, searching for validation, searching for external sources of fulfillment, rather than searching for the fulfillment which already exists through us, within us, and can be expressed through our creative potential, whatever that may be. So,
oh man, that's beautiful. And you're already segueing into what was going to be my next question. But, you know, on that note too, you know, we're talking about plant medicine. You know, I've been a proponent of cannabis and mushrooms I've used in my life and had incredible insights. But, you know, at the beginning of this, before we started the show, we're both going through like some serious sobriety time. And also want to recommend to people that, you know, sobriety, if you've already come to realize these things, it's time to take action. And sometimes that does require, you know, very much clarity too. And yeah. So I want to encourage and motivate listeners and inspire listeners. And that's kind of why I'm trying to keep the ball rolling, since the Sound Path for Freedom really inspired me, meeting you folks in person, being able to meet Mark Passio in person. You know, he changed my life, and I got to shake his hand and thank him for that in person. And not only that, but the people behind the scenes that, you know, did the filming, that did the you know, helped him with that show. And it is a group team process. And that, I think that was pretty amazing, seeing everybody come together at that Sound Path event and all just throw down whatever they had. And it was a beautiful event. I was curious if you wanted to comment on that.
I just want to give props to the organizers for putting themselves out there, investing a lot of their time, investing a lot of their, you know, energy to bring people together of a like mindset. And it was really a special experience for me to get to play my music for Mark, honestly, for everyone there, but especially having Mark sitting, you know, like off to the side and listening to it, and just getting to shake his hand as well and meet him. And yeah, like, Mark definitely changed my life as well, and has been able to encapsulate a lot of these ideas, these fundamental truths of reality that we all know deeply, to be able to actually articulate those and to use logic and use reasoning in a deductive way to get us closer to an understanding of the capital T truth, of the actual truth as it exists in nature. Not my truth, not your truth, not our perception of reality, but what is actually true, what is actually real in nature. And you know, that was another thing that the two of those guys, Mark and Jason from Archaix, were talking about on their recent show, was they both fundamentally agreed that objective truth can be determined in nature. And because we can, you know, for example, we can see that the sun will rise every single day and the sun will set every single evening. And because of that, we can agree upon the fact that there are certain fundamental laws in nature that exist, obviously, right? That certain things will happen, you know, in nature without fail. And then if those things exist, then there surely would be other laws of nature that maybe aren't so apparent, maybe aren't so obvious, that also are, you know, binding immutable laws, as Mark would say. And so, yeah, anyways, I don't know how I got on that, but I think that I'm grateful for the opportunity to come together with other like-minded individuals who can see this fundamental layer of reality, and to be able to be a part of a music festival that was based around those ideas was really special. So big ups to the organizers of Soundpath, Jerry, and everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah, and having Derek Bros there too was a really big deal. And for me, getting the opportunity to go pick you guys up, and then the strange thing of getting pulled over by the
by the order followers
on the way. Who would have thought it? You know.
But I know, that's wild.
I really like how Derek, you know, talked with us about, you know, bridging that gap between people, and you know, like I needed that bitch slap from Mark saying, you know, wake up, you know, why aren't you speaking? Wisdom is action. That I remember recording that and repeating that over and over. That's what true wisdom is when you actually are able to share the rhetoric with other people.
Yeah.
And you were talking about during the scamdemic, like going through this anger. And I was too. I remember being furious. I remember listening to Rage Against the Machine as I drive around seeing lines of people outside of stores with masks and just like, I was mad, you know. But for me, doing my podcast and making, like, I made a video about, I think it was 15 reasons to refuse to wear a mask. Putting that work out there and sharing that wisdom really helped me transmute that negative energy. And I think that's important for us to share with listeners, because if you're someone who's come to realize these things and you're holding it inside, it'll eat you up.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You got to find a way to let it out. And so maybe you just want to say a few words about how music can transmute that. And then if you want to play a song, man, that'd be kick ass.
Let's do it, man. I totally agree. I think that that's the real purpose of, like, creative work, is to transmute feelings. You know, that's why there's so many songs out there that are love songs, right? Because that's the one of the most common emotions people feel, is like that feeling of, you know, love and infatuation for another human being. And so, yeah, I think on the topic of anger, right, Mark calls anger the sacred gift, because it's a gift to be able to feel that charge within you, and that charge can lead you towards action. And like you said, if you don't take action on that energetic charge, then that's going to eat you alive from inside. So, yeah. Any song requests, Chris?
We got a lot of what you're most excited about right now. I know how it is.
Yeah.
When you're working on something, it's like, what's got you fired up right now?
I don't know, man. You know, just, I've kind of been working on just the whole cohesion of the set, just because I'm about to go on tour. So just trying to tighten up little things and get things as tight as possible. But let me see what feels good right now.
Express Ourselves?
Yeah, we could do that one.
express ourselves, but do the very best that we can with the cards we were dealt. Yes, I must express ourselves, but do the very best that we can. Hey, do the very best that we can. Oh yeah.
Yes, perfect song choice, Chris. Doing the very best that we can with the tools that we've been given by Creator to express ourselves, express the highest reality, you know.
Doing the very best that we can. Sometimes I feel like life slips through my fingers. I can't get the grip of bad mind and it lingers. Thoughts in the winter, am I a quitter? Time feels bitter. Sometimes I'm feeling my soul sucking down in a twister. Can't get the lift, crack turns to a rift. My feet, they blister. Living in like give myself the middle finger. With the timeline right, yep, I took another step in energetic stride. I get out of the house and feel the air outside. Cause I get out of the head and let the heart be guide. Searching for a way to a higher plane. Nobody to follow, nobody to blame. Self-responsibility, the name of the game. Creation is a must in this sacred plane. Yeah, we must express ourselves, but do the very best that we can with the cards we were dealt. Yes, we must express ourselves, but do the very best that we can. Hey, do the very best that we can. All my people are unique and they gotta come through in the words we speak. Cause words are like swords that cut the cords between the past and the dreams that we all work towards. Rewarded by Creator for our role in the play. Embody everything in which our soul display. Our lives be a reflection, a connection, moving higher direction. Increase spiritual perception, a break a form of deception. Yo, with the timeline right, I took another step in energetic stride. I get that the heart, so let the air outside. I get that the head and let the heart be guide. Cause I'm searching for a way to a higher plane. Nobody to follow, nobody to blame. Self-responsibility, the name of the game. Creation is a must in the sacred plane. Yeah, we must express ourselves every day. We do the very best that we can with the cards we were dealt. Yes, we must express ourselves. We do the very best that we can. Hey, we do the very best that we can. We gotta do what we gotta do, what we gotta do, what we gotta do to be free, to be free, to be. Ourselves, but do the very best that we can with the cards we were dealt. Yes, we must express ourselves. Yes, do the very best that we can. Hey, do the very best that we can. Oh
Oh yeah. Awesome. You are the man.
Yeah, that was a good suggestion of song because that's exactly what we were just talking about. So, yeah.
Yeah, put your mind to the test. I love it. I love how you're just such a talented guy and man, the way you swing that guitar around or grab your other instrument and go back and forth between all that stuff. It's just amazing to watch. Folks, oh, you thanks, gotta man. Get on.
Presents. I dropped all my picks on the floor, so I pulled the guitar around, and then I was like, "Oh there's no picks." All right, we got picks now, though, so we're good to go.
But you know, that's the thing—you got to roll with it, you know. And it got me thinking too. Like, I've tried to play with music, and I get really like kind of down on myself sometimes, like I'm not good enough and stuff. But I think, you know, I want to encourage people that are listening. Like, you're not going to be presence in a day or two, but like I'm sure it took you years and years of work of building up these skills, but like how would you encourage other people, you know, with their music and their skills to actually start expressing themselves and to get past that negativity or that part of their mind that says, oh, I'm not as good as presence, you know?
Yeah, or I that's a really good question, you
know? Yeah,
that's a really good question. You know, honestly, dude, sometimes I still watch other musicians play. Like, I really like this band called Snarky Puppy, which some people might know. They're an insane funk band of, like, all these Berklee graduates, and they're all just, like, unreal musicians, just next level. And they'll sit in a room and record a whole album, start to finish, all live in the studio with everything mic'd up. And the musicianship is just unreal. Sometimes I watch bands like that, and I'm just like, wow, I'll never be that good. You know what I mean? And the thing is, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, at the end of the day, every single person on this earth, I think, was born with some kind of creative gift to share. And it doesn't matter. I think that the concept that, oh, I'm not good enough right now, so therefore I shouldn't do anything, that kind of gets into this idea of, like, learned helplessness. Richard Grove talks a lot about that in his autonomy course of, like, oh, well, I don't have that skill set right now, so that'll just stop me from ever trying, you know? Like, I don't have that skill set. Like, I didn't have this skill set of looping all these instruments and then live dubbing and singing and all this stuff that I just did in that performance. Like, I didn't have that skill set just a few years ago. And, you know, obviously it took a lot of hard work to get there, but everything in life, I think, is figure outable. Like, we can always figure out a way. If there's a passion behind something, there's always a way to do it. You know what I mean? And I think that the joy of life is in that process of discovering what that passion is and discovering what that freedom of expression could look like. And so I would just encourage people to not be afraid to start. You know, if maybe you have an inclination towards something, just start working on it. Just start chipping away at it every day, because the satisfaction you'll feel just from the process of doing that is what it's about. It's not about the end result of, like, you know, it's not about the end result. It's about the process. But if you are truly present with the process, you will create some excellent results in the end. So that's what I would say. What would you say?
Yeah, I feel like you have to push through a lot of times. Like you're saying, the picks are on the floor and you're live, you know, people are watching, and you just got to make a joke of it and be like, oh, picks are on the floor, but I'm going to keep going. And I think people do appreciate the rawness and the realness of being human. And we're not computers, you know, and that humanness is what makes us love one another and appreciate the humanity. We don't want to turn into automatons. We don't want to turn into machines. So express yourself includes making mistakes. And all those little mistakes on the way are partly what creates the beauty of you know, what, there is no final product, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. It's always a work in progress, right? You know, and so exactly. We got to stop looking at mistakes as bad and more like learning opportunities and creation possibilities. In fact, in my, like, back in the day when I used to create a lot of music, some of my favorite stuff was mistakes, you know? When you listen back to it, it's like, oh, actually, that mistake's pretty cool. Let's keep that in, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That's totally the case. Like, a lot of stuff that makes it onto the final record, you might do, like, hundreds of takes, and you're striving for perfection, but then it's always the one that's, like, the not-perfect one that just has that cool vibe to it, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I think that this idea of learned helplessness is something that's really common in our society, where we're taught that, like, oh, you know, people are put through this public schooling system throughout the majority of their childhood, which in my opinion is designed to suppress the creativity and suppress the self-expression out of children when they already have an innate capacity for that. For me, a lot of, like, what I do today, people come up to me and they're like, oh, you're so amazing, you're so talented or whatever. And I'm like, man, I'm just trying to get back to where I was as a kid. Like, I'm trying to get back to being able to have the freedom of expression that I had when I was a kid, because when I was a kid, everything was just fun. I was just, you know, cruising around, playing music, riding bikes, just having a good old time. And then as you get older, the society and the education system programs that sense of creativity out of you to where you have to fight to get it back. Honestly, that's how I felt. Like, it's a battle for your mind to take your mind back from that programming and to deprogram that kind of stuff, so that you can get back to that freedom of expression. And I think when you look at a lot of the, like, elite performers of the world today, like the people who are at the top level of their field in any field of whatever it is, whether it's athletic, whether it's creative, whether it's, you know, anything, most of the time it's because a child was given the opportunity to fully follow their path. Like, a child was given the maximum opportunity to follow their purpose without inhibition from programming and education systems and indoctrination. I think those are the things that get in the way from us being able to express what we're truly here to express. So
absolutely. And I think the lack of play with other kids is what creates, in many cases, the psychopathic tendencies that lead to some of the really destructive behaviors we see.
Definitely.
So it's important to play and to commune with others. And so I really encourage people to network. You know, if we're going to solve this problem, we need to do it together. We're not a solitary species. And what I've been seeing from you in the past year, all of a sudden you're showing up more and more at all these conferences. You went to Anarchapulco, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the People's Reset, and I know you're going to be at the next People's Reset, put on by Derek Brose, and a couple other conferences too I saw you were at. It seems like there was a while where you were just trying to get your stuff out. I'm guessing not getting as many views as you would have liked, but it does seem like it's starting to build now, and the ball's rolling, and you're getting invited to all these things. I'm really happy to see that, but I'm curious from your point of view, how that's been.
Yeah, I definitely think it's just been a process of persevering and pushing forward because, you know, like you've said, there is a lot of censorship now. You know, back in like the, you know, 2010 to 2020, I feel like it was a whole different landscape with social media where things could go viral a lot more easily in a way, and there wasn't these like preferential treatments of certain types of content and certain types of ideas like there is now. But that's all good, you know, but nonetheless, like, I've just been doing my best to put out good work over the last few years and just show up to create as much as I possibly can. And I'm grateful for the opportunities that have come my way to play at these events where people are of the same frequency. Like you said, Anarchapulco, I've played Anarchapulco twice now, and I've played at People's Reset 3 times. And every time it's just a really beautiful opportunity to connect with like-minded individuals and get to share my music with the people who are really going to get it, you know, the people who really understand. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity to now be connected with DubFX, who's a major artist who's toured the world, who does 100 shows a year for the last like 10 years. And he started off completely independent as well, playing music on the streets, and his videos went viral. And now a lot of them have over 20 million views. Just from him rocking out on the streets and just having pure raw courage to just get out there with a microphone and a looper and just get out there on the streets and perform. And then that turned into a career that he's been a very successful musician touring the world and sharing a message that's authentic to him and is, you know, authentic to natural law and all the kind of stuff we're into. So for an artist like him to be willing to take me on the road with him and do 32 shows in Europe coming up soon is a huge blessing, and I feel just so grateful for that opportunity. And I think that, you know, I feel like the support of Creator and, you know, saying thank you for your efforts that you've been putting in, and we're going to help you get this message out there. And I definitely feel a connection to Creator, to God, and I'm grateful for the opportunities that have come my way as a result. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting. And Presence is going to be performing at Funnel 5, which is coming up in February 21st and 22nd. He's going to be our headline performer with music and alongside of a bunch of awesome presentations and other musical acts, too. But we're really excited to have you for that. And I'd like to hear about you're going on tour, right? And I'm going to share your website because I want to send people to your website if I can manage to bring that up here. Tell us a little bit about what's going on. You're going on tour?
Derek originally connected with DubFX all the way back in, I don't know, I think it was like 2011 or something like that when he was still street performing and Derek was doing a lot of his core activism. And then Derek invited him to come out to the People's Reset in the UK. If you go to just my homepage, and scroll down, you'll see all the tour dates there. Just scroll down.
Oh yeah,
a little bit.
I saw there it is. Yeah, look at that.
But yeah, so that's how we originally got connected with DubFX, and he instantly, you know, was really receptive to this whole movement of people who are pro freedom, pro truth, pro natural law, all that kind of stuff, and his music is very aligned with that. And so we actually did a small tour this summer with him, myself, and 33 Derek Brose around the United States. And then he was gracious enough to invite me to come on this European tour with him and Mr. Woodnote, who's his sax player, an insane sax player. Both of them together is just like electrifying. They're incredible together. So yeah, I'm just super grateful for the opportunity. And the title of the tour is also the title of his most recent album that he just put out. And it's called The Open Secret Society. And, you know, this is very much along the same lines of the kind of stuff that Mark talks about too, because this is about, like, instead of it being a closed secret society, a secret society, it's an open society where we can openly share these concepts of, you know, occult concepts and make them public, make them publicly available. And that's kind of the purpose of the album that he just put out. So definitely I recommend people go check that out. I'm actually featured on 3 of the tunes on the album, and a lot of my friends as well, Elias Clay, Bruce B, his beautiful wife, Sahita Apsara, is featured on a tune. It's amazing. He's got a whole host of different artists from around the world. So definitely check it out. And yeah, I'm stoked to be performing on Funnel and Freedom Under Natural Law, very much aligned. So yeah, man, I feel like what it's about is just that it's not necessarily about the size of the movement at this point. It's about the integrity of the movement. You know, it's like, it doesn't really matter how many people are awake to this information. It's about the fact that there are people awake to this level of the information and that we're actively working to spread that information. And however much that spreads, you know, that's up to God and that's up to the free will of the people who are willing to spread the information. But, yeah, you know, I'm grateful for you for putting your free will action into spreading this information, and to everyone else who's actively doing that. That's what we need.
Thanks much.
So, yeah, man.
One thing I particularly appreciate about you and your work is you're so authentic, and you haven't backed down one inch on your message. Your words are solid, and I know there's probably going to be pressure at certain points in your career to say things differently or reach a crowd differently. I know there's always a balance on that, and that's a good conversation we had with Derek Bros too. We do have to find a way to bridge the gap, yeah, to reach more people. So I was curious, you know, that kind of last big question, how do we bridge the gap to people that aren't ready for the full on message, and how much you think it's okay to back down on certain things?
Yeah, that's a good idea. A good question. Personally, I don't really foresee myself ever wanting to compromise my message in any kind of way in order to, you know, even if it were an opportunity to reach more people, you know, that's why I'm really grateful to DubFX for being willing to take me on this tour where I'm going to play all the way across Europe to 1,000-seat audiences, and pretty much his entire audience, like most of his major hardcore fans are in Europe, though he does have fans internationally. And so for him to know my message and know how, you know, intense and raw it can be, and to be willing to let me take the stage with him and put that out there to his audience, I think says a lot about him, and also about the fact that there are opportunities for us to get this message out there to bigger, you know, crowds of people. But I think ultimately what it comes down to is, you know, Mark originally said that he's not here to reach the masses. He's here to reach the teachers who are here to teach the masses, if that makes sense. And I think that everybody's unique creative expression is a different avenue. It's like a different, you know, it's a different little, what do you call it? All of the little veins on a tree that all kind of spiral out naturally. Yeah. It's like,
yeah,
we need everybody's effort. We need everybody speaking the truth, who's aware of it in their own way, to ultimately reach the critical mass that we're looking for, where we can start to live in a world that's more moral and therefore more free the way we know it can be. So, but I think that music is definitely a powerful vehicle. Like, that's why the elites use music and cinema as two of the primary control mechanisms. They use Hollywood and the music industry, which are corporately owned and bought up and have a lot of power behind them and a lot of money behind them. And they basically are just a meat grinder that's just churning out as much content as possible. And it's very clear how that content has an undertone of the types of agendas that they're trying to push on the masses, right? And so they're using that art form because they know that art kind of dissolves the boundaries and the walls of people's, to allow information to enter people's subconscious. And so that's the power of art. That's the power of music. That's the power of film. the power of painting, whatever the art form is, right? It kind of dissolves those boundaries that people have, you know, to where you can get a message directly into people's subconscious. And so I know that there's a lot of people, like I get invited to perform at a lot of sort of these more transformational festivals, like people would call like hippie festivals or whatever. I don't know what you'd call them. I think the proper term is like transformational festivals. But there's a lot of very, you know, free-spirited people there, right? And a lot of those people probably don't have the kind of like vocabulary of natural law and the kind of things that we talk about in this community, right? But music, through the music, it's able to bridge that gap, as you're saying, to where people are open-hearted, they're receptive to the music because the music feels good, and then the information that's underlying can reach the subconscious and help to create a transformation. And so I think that that's one of the powers of these tools that we have, these artistic tools. So,
yeah, I've had a couple interviews with people that have studied hypnotism, and some of the main aspects of hypnotism are repetition. And, you know, that you get that in music, right? You get to repeat the message over and over. And then you also have the aspect of, you know, everything comes into our right brain. That's how advertisers sell things with marketing, is by appealing to your emotions, right? And so when people are in that kind of right brain modality, that's where they take in, they're more open to take things in. That's why TV is so dangerous and movies, because we're sitting there just kind of like wide open and listening, and then the message can be repeated and repeated. And so, you know, what we're doing is figuring out a way to, you know, maybe appeal to people's sense of, at that, you know, what do you call it? Aesthetics, right? Oh, that sounds cool. I like that. And then repeat a message that's actually going to help them with their life and help others work towards freedom. So I love that you are holding true to the principles, and I'm the same way. I don't want to back down on principles at all, but I do think that we can at certain times adjust the type of words we use and the way we use them, instead of, you know, just hitting them with the same word over and over. If that word's not working, find another one that works, you know.
That's a good point. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, you know, for example, the difference between voluntarist and anarchist, you know, most people are instantly turned off by the word anarchist because they associate it with like Molotov cocktails, and they associate it with anarchy with chaos, because that's a lot of the message that's, you know, portrayed by the mainstream media. But the word anarchy just means without rulers, right? That doesn't mean doesn't mean without rules. We can still live in a society where we voluntarily agree to be a part of different associations and organizations, and we can have rules and guidelines that we can voluntarily choose to interact with. But rulers, people who have the moral right or the perceived moral right to rule and control over others, that's what we disagree with. So by changing that word from anarchist to voluntarist, hey, I just believe in all human interaction should be voluntary, right? Like, I don't have the right to go and involuntarily steal from my neighbors, so therefore there shouldn't be this large body of people known as the federal government who can come and steal a product of our labor, right? Or, yeah, it's like everything should just be voluntary. We should just be able to engage in the things we want to and not be coerced into engaging with things that we don't want to. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you on the word choice.
Yeah, I've even noticed, like, government, a lot of folks I speak with, they tend to think of the word government as equal or the same as organizing. And I'm like,
yeah,
we can organize without forcing one another to do things in terms of coercion. And trying to bridge these gaps is part of the game we gotta figure out. And I appreciate the way you're going about it. So before we close up, I mean, how can people connect with your music? Best place to find you. I showed you the website, guys, and here's the, I got the little QR code, if that works for some folks.
Oh, sweet. Thank you.
Presencemusic.com. And any other things you want to recommend people to, or send people, social media?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, all of my music's over at presencemusic.com. And I also self-produce all my videos. So if you go to the music page, there's music videos for almost all of those tunes as well. And a lot of them have the lyrics in them as well. And then on the lyrics page, there's all of my lyrics are also written out. So if you do feel like diving in and seeing what the lyrics are, sometimes they go really fast. So you can just click on those and you can actually, you know.
Here we go. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have all that up there available for people.
Sweet.
And yeah. And then if you want to check out the music on any of the streaming platforms, there's Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, YouTube, Instagram,
here.
TikTok, Facebook, X, whatever. So I'm trying to get on as many platforms as I can to just kind of spread the message far and wide. And I've also been doing more live streams lately as well. So going on and streaming to multiple platforms has been fun to be able to connect with people live. So, and then if you want to check out, yeah, go ahead.
Where do you usually do the live streams to multiple platforms?
Yeah, usually it's mainly on YouTube, but I've started getting into, I know you're using Restream. I've been using StreamYard and then going out to multiple platforms. So you can find me on like, Odyssey. I've been on Odyssey and BitChute and trying to stream to some of the other censorship-free platforms because I really value that people are taking steps to make censorship-free platforms. That's much needed. So, yeah, and then as for the tour, you can go to dubfx.com, or it's also linked on my website, too, if you go there. And you can listen to the new album, Open Secret Society, which, as I said, I'm featured on a few tracks on there along with a bunch of my friends. DubFX is an amazing producer, mixing engineer, mastering engineer. The album sounds incredible. It's super fat. Sounds amazing. It bumps. So definitely go check it out. And if you happen to be in Europe over the next couple months, definitely come out to one of the shows. We're going to be all across Europe in most of the major cities. So it would be amazing to see some of you all there in person. So yeah, should we do one more song before we close it out?
Yeah, let's do it.
This song, Change Ourselves, I was going to play this at Soundpath, and I just completely blanked, but this is another song that was definitely heavily inspired by Mark's work. So this one's called Change Ourselves. This song's about natural law.
Respect that when behavior is aligned with the correct intention, society will experience redemption. To change the world right now, we got to change ourselves. Yes, to change the world, we got to change ourselves now. To change the world, yeah, we got to change ourselves. To change the world. Is is an action which does not cause harm to another sentient being on this plane. Respect that every human interaction must be voluntary, otherwise it is coercion, pain. We got to know morality is not subjective. Distinguishing right from wrong is objective. Respect that every human has a natural rule of not directive, and won't accept no acts of aggression to change the world. Right now we got to change ourselves, oh yes, to change the world. We got to change ourselves now, to change the world. Yeah, we got to change ourselves, to change the world. Yeah, we got to change ourselves. Well, are you going to compromise your integrity for the fear of making other people angry now? Are you going to compromise your integrity for the fear of making other people angry now? Are you going to compromise your integrity for the fear of making other people angry now? Are you going to compromise your integrity for the fear of making other people angry now? Of making other people angry now? Are you going to compromise your integrity for the fear of making other people angry now? Are you going to compromise your integrity, yeah, for the fear of making other people angry now? Are you going to compromise your integrity for the fear of making other people angry? To change the world, we got to change ourselves now. To change the world, yeah, we got to change ourselves. To change the world, we got to change ourselves now. To change the world, yeah, we got to change our. We got to change ourselves.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, man, thanks so much for having me, Chris. I appreciate it, and we're looking forward to Funnel, and it's gonna be a good time. So
like you said, folks, don't be lame. You gotta change. It's up to you to make the difference. We can change the world. In fact, we are. And you're doing a big shovel load of that work with the way you're going about it. I really appreciate it. I'm inspired, and I know people that are listening will be inspired. So thanks so much, Grant, for coming on, and we'll look forward to seeing you at Funnel.
Thanks, brother. Likewise.
We'll be in touch. Yeah.
Sounds good, man. Thanks again for having me.
All right, folks. We'll see you next week. Evil is the destruction of freedom. You got to change the world.
Yes, I.
So natural law is a set of universal, inherent, objective, non-man-made, eternal, and immutable conditions which govern the consequences of behavior of beings with the capacity for understanding the difference between harmful and non-harmful behavior. Funnel 5, a free, two-day online conference.
Ignite hearts and minds.
The event that will spark truth, love, and freedom.
February 21st and 22nd, 2026.
For more information, visit freedomundernaturallaw.com.